back and just trying to put yourself in the situation 2,000 years ago, it would have been a very strange way to save the world. I was talking with some people at work this week about some of the unusual Christmas traditions and habits we have, and I told them about the way we used to do Christmas with my dad's side of the family. Every year we get together on usually Christmas Eve, just before our service here, and when we get together with my dad's side of the family, they weren't much into shopping, and typically what would happen just before Christmas, my stepmom would call and say, hey, where do you want your gift card from this year? And, my sisters and I would each tell them, and my dad would get us a gift card to that place, my grandmother would get us a gift card to that place, and then we'd ask them, where do you want yours to come from? And they were equal amounts. So we would just go, and we'd open up our cards, our Christmas cards, and there would be our gift card, and we'd all just squeal with delight and say, we got exactly what we wanted. And it really wouldn't have been much different than me handing you a $20 bill, and you handed it back to me, and we just say Merry Christmas. So it's just really kind of strange the way we did that. I'm not sure what Bible commandment we were violating by doing it that way. Maybe something from Hezekiah chapter 3. I'd recommend not spending your time trying to find that passage tonight. Because what we all know is this. Christmas is about giving surprise gifts and pretending to like them and secretly exchanging them next week for the right size. Right? I mean, the way we did, looking back, maybe wasn't all bad. We all got something we could use, and the majority of the time and thought we put together in as a family was just enjoying each other's company and having a meal and playing some games afterward, laughing. But have you ever thought about how different that first Christmas would have been had we arranged the programming? What if we planned the event of the birth of the Messiah? Years before he was born, about 1,000 years before he was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I have to remind myself of that passage all the time, because honestly, if I were God, and the world treated me the way the world treats him, I'd respond differently. If I went to all the trouble of creating the world and all of its blessings and gave my people just a few rules and they disobeyed all my commands, scoffed at my messengers, pretended at times that I didn't even exist, I would have been more inclined to send a fiery meteor and just wipe them out, right? But God's ways are not our ways. He loved this world so much that he came down to earth as a humble human being to be reconciled with us. Even then, if I would have come that way, I certainly would have come at a different time than he came. I would have come at a time much more like today, where there are communication satellites and mass media. I mean, we could all just be sitting at home one night and our programming be interrupted with this message, "Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt your program to bring you an important announcement. The God of the universe has come to visit us." And everyone in the world would have known at the same time and instantly what was going on. But God's ways are not our ways. He came 2,000 years ago when information traveled at a snail's pace. He came in the fullness of his time, but very few even knew about it until a very long time. We get in such a hurry, but he is so patient. If I were God, I would have come to a different people. If I were God, I would have come to a different place. If I came 2,000 years ago, I would have gone probably to Rome, the hub of political activity, or Athens, the center of intellectual activity. The wise men even went to Jerusalem, the religious center, asking, "Where is this king who's been born?" But they quickly learned that God's ways are not our ways. The new king wasn't in the Jerusalem palace. He was in a manger in the little tiny village of Bethlehem. Can you imagine? Bethlehem? In that day, that would have been like, hey, where's this newborn king born at? Where's he at? Where do I go see him? And we just said, well, how about Hamtramck, Michigan? What a strange way to save the world. If I were to come, I would have come in a different manner. I would have come down as a full-grown man, built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just a little more buff than I am now. I would have come with an impressive appearance. I mean, the first man, Adam, was created a full-grown man. I would have had the second Adam come as a full-grown too. His arrival would have been accompanied by angels and trumpets and fireworks bigger than thunder over Michigan. Everyone would have been announcing in huge ways my arrival. Everyone would have known that the God of the universe was here. But God's ways are not our ways. He came down to earth as a tiny, unknown infant. I start thinking, I wonder what the angels thought. The angels must have been shocked that the Creator would have limited himself as a human baby, more so reduced to an infant, but so he could experience everything we experience. Oh, there was a star, a spectacular star. It was in the sky. It announced his arrival. But there were only a few people that even took notice and deduced its meaning. For a moment, the whole sky was ablaze with angels singing praises to God. But only a few shepherds heard it. I wonder if the angels on their way back to heaven said, boy, that was kind of a downer. All that practice and the only people in the audience were a few shepherds? Shepherds have no influence. Absolutely no music appreciation. I mean, those angels were probably grumbling all the way back. Maybe we should have had a better marketing campaign. But God's ways are not our ways. If I were God, I would have chosen different parents too. Mary and Joseph were wonderful people, persons of impeccable integrity. But I would have chosen more refined people, educated people, experienced people. People who could have protected my son. You know how picky parents are even when they go to find a babysitter, right? You want to make sure your children have the best of care, even for an evening. God chose peasant parents who didn't know much about hygiene, let alone rearing children. Shoot, Joseph didn't even know enough to make advance reservations at the motel. Mary was a loving mother. But she lost the boy Jesus for 3 days when she took him to Jerusalem. God's ways, I mean, they're just not our ways. This young peasant woman brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. I went on a 5-day mission trip to Haiti years ago. When we arrived, some in our group were a little concerned about our accommodations. When we were shown where we would sleep, it was a dirty cement floor with varmints of all type all around. Most of us said it was perfectly fine, but when our host left, we complained just a little bit. We're pretty soft as Americans. We didn't want to be there where there were cockroaches and scorpions all around. That's not clean, but we endured. God's ways are not our ways. The baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed in a manger. That's a nice way of saying he was born in a barn. The first breath of air that Jesus took on earth had the pungent odor of manure in it. His tiny hands touched the place where cows had slobbered and chewed, and then he probably put those same little hands in his mouth. Mary and Joseph didn't know about germs. And you know, there had to have been cobwebs and spiders all scurrying around. It was not a sanitary place. Listen, God's ways simply are not our ways. The Bible says it this way: you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. If I were God, I would not have dealt with the sin problem the way God dealt with it. I'm all about justice. I'd make people pay for their sins. You disobeyed your parents, man, you're getting 100 lashes. You extorted money from the elderly, You're going to suffer with some sort of pain for the next 20 years to pay for that. You gossiped your whole life. You're going to spend 100 years in solitary confinement with nothing to do except listen to Rosie O'Donnell reruns for a century. But God's ways are not our ways. He decided he would pay for the problem of sin himself. He offered to let people go free. When Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were gathered together and literally put right on him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling. One version says hugging the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. God's ways are not our ways. And aren't you glad? I don't want to pay for my sins. It's a huge debt. I couldn't get even. There's one thing that Jesus did that I think I probably would have done the same way. He arose from the dead. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Like, we love celebrating victories. Jesus came back from the grave, conquering sin and the grave and death forever. But even after that, I would have done some things differently. I wouldn't have appeared to the same people he appeared to. You know who the first people I would have appeared to? The people who put me on that cross. The people who gloated at me on that cross. At the crucifixion, there were people who were jeering and taunting and gleefully dancing and making fun of Jesus while he was dying for them. If I came back from the grave, I'd appeared to them. And then I would have gone to the Sanhedrin, where they were meeting on Sunday morning, wondering how to explain the empty tomb. I'd have gone right in the middle of their meeting and said, "I'm back. Remember me?" And I'd have ordered them to their knees, all of them. That's the way I would have done it. But God's ways are not our ways. Jesus' first appearance was to a woman who didn't have much credibility. Her name was Mary Magdalene. The Bible says that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her, yet he still respected her. She was honored to be the first to see him. She lacked credibility amongst her people. They didn't even believe her testimony when she said she'd seen him. But she was chosen by the Lord. "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts," says the Lord. We're all about impressing people. God is all about changing people. We love to make as big of a splash as possible. God usually understates his involvement. We're proud. He's humble. There's an old ad for a perfume that used to say, "You want to get someone's attention? Whisper." God got our attention with a whisper. He slipped into the world almost unnoticed. People had to search to find him. And so I just want to leave you with this thought this Christmas. Look for God in the simple things, not just the spectacular. We sometimes think if God's going to visit us, if he's going to appear to us, he'll come in some overwhelmingly ecstatic emotion or some dramatic miracle or some huge thing's going to happen in our life and it's going to be obvious. And sometimes God does those things. Take some time to get caught up in the things that really bring pleasure by helping others. Take some time to see God in the little things. Be patient with someone who needs a little patience. Bring a little food to a family that has some needs. Spend time worshiping the one that Christmas is really all about. Find time tomorrow and in the few remaining days of this year to share a little bit of what God has given you with someone else who might need it just a little bit more than you do. Help a family. Help a friend. Sit and pray with the brokenhearted. Make a phone call to someone who needs encouragement. Visit someone who would enjoy your company. You know, it was the prophet Elijah who discovered this when he was looking for God. God was not in the violent tornado. He was not in the fiery explosion. He was not in the terrifying earthquake. Elijah found him in the still, small voice. And so I challenge you to listen for the whisper. Maybe to sense God in the expression of wonder on the face of a little child, the touch of a baby, the impressive faith of the elderly, a distant carol, the goosebumps that crop up your arm when someone sings a meaningful song. I want you to hear that still, small voice that says to you, I know everything about you. I know how many hairs you have on your head. I know the thoughts of your heart. I know every good thing you've ever tried to do, and I know every sin you've ever tried to hide. And I still care about you and love you and offer forgiveness to you and offer purpose in life to you. Listen to the one who says, I want you to live with me forever. I think sometimes it's hard to understand a God like that because his thoughts are so much higher than ours, because he's so much greater than we. This hymn says it well. His love is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches below the lowest hell. His ways are not our ways. Oh, and aren't you glad? Our ways lead to conflict. His way leads to peace. Our ways lead to futility. His ways lead to fulfillment. Our ways lead to death. And his way leads to life. Life everlasting. Would you please grab a candle? And we're just going to make a big circle around this room to close out with one or two more carols tonight. We have a fair number of people tonight who first experienced anything to do with our church through live stream. And I just want to say I'm really happy tonight to have Michael back here, who started our live stream for us a few years ago while he was in high school. Set it all up. I gave him a computer and said, can you figure this out? Because I can't. And he did. Michael's now proudly serving, I think proudly serving, I'm proud of him, in our United States Navy. 24 hours ago was in Washington State. And just excited for me to see him tonight. 40 pounds heavier than I saw him just a few months ago. So.
Yeah. favorite parts of the Christmas season of sermons that we did this year was when I tried to contrast darkness and light. I don't know if I did that effectively, but I really wanted to point out that Jesus came to expel the darkness. And by expelling the darkness, I said he wanted to expel sickness and crime and pain and so many of the things that
ail our world. And that day's coming. When he comes back, that day is coming. For now, we have to deal with some of those things. And I just am mindful tonight of a few in our church, and I know there's others that I probably won't mention, but Mark's been battling a pretty aggressive form of cancer. I do understand he's it's shrunk. He started treatments about 2 weeks ago. It's 2 weeks now, right?
Right.
Pretty aggressive treatments, too, and the last test is that tumor's shrinking, so keep Mark in your prayers. Steve King is in a rehab center. He's suffering from Parkinson's disease. Is he home? But he certainly could use your encouragement, a phone call, a card, a visit. Would mean a lot to him. Mark doesn't want any visit, last I heard, right? So, but I know Steve would appreciate it. Those two guys were elders for years here, still are. Just tough seasons of life, and we all go through them. So keep them in prayer, and the rest of your needs that you're aware of too. Let's just take a moment and let me lead you in prayer before we just close out with one more song following, which I think we'll just have you.